It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
We're going to focus again today on Israel, on the Jewish calendar, and on the peace process in the Middle East. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. You can join the discussion on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. Speaking of Facebook, there's quite a lively discussion when I posted a question yesterday saying, what's the big deal about open homosexuals serving in the military? After all, they serve in other militaries like Israel and England. Why should we make such a big fuss about it here in America? Just a question for discussion. Well, not only to get a lively discussion, some people thought it was my position, which made the discussion all the more lively. But today, here's my question for you. Do you believe in a two-state solution for peace in the Middle East? Do you believe it's inevitable, but from the pit, only going to bring destruction? Do you think, no, pragmatically, that's what we need to do? I mean, let's be fair. Jewish people can have a homeland, and the Palestinians can have a homeland. And if they just have that homeland, they'll live peacefully, side by side. Is this just a ploy for more Muslim, Arab takeover of Jewish land? Is it a sin to divide the land? 866-34-TRUTH. And do you think that there will be any type of lasting peace in the Middle East before Jesus the Messiah returns? So what do you think about that? Right now, peace talks are going on. And at the very same time, some very interesting things happening among Palestinians. Let me read you a few headlines. Palestinian court, this is the PA, Palestinian Authority, which, remember, led by Mahmoud Abbas, his doctoral dissertation was largely a Holocaust denial. And he is considered the moderate compared to Hamas. The Palestinian Authority court has decided this past Thursday, so less than a week ago, that selling land to Israel or Israelis is a capital offense. Now, these things have happened in the past, but this is a fresh ruling. A prosecution statement said the court issued the ruling according to instructions it received from PA Attorney General Ahmad al-Mukhni. The prosecution added the ruling was made in order to protect the Palestinian national project to establish an independent Palestinian state. Dozens of Arabs have been executed without trial in the past, this is from Jewish News Online, for collaborating with Israel by selling land to Jews, but the court's recent ruling was the first time the PA officially handed down a verdict of treason for the deed. So you're a Palestinian. You own land, say, in Jerusalem. You want to sell some of that to Israelis. Official decision of the Palestinian Authority court. You will die for that. And there's some wealthy Palestinians who sold land that are saying this threat should be taken very seriously, and they're asking for protection because they fear for their lives. About this quote, senior Palestinian Authority negotiator Nabil Shahat has announced the PA will never accept Israel as a Jewish state. This is in the midst of peace talks. In addition, he threatened war if the PA fails to obtain its demands through negotiations. Are you ready? The Arab League voted last week to support PA Chairman Mahmoud Abbas's refusal to recognize Israel as Jewish. Shahat said recognizing Israel as a Jewish state would undermine the PA's demand for the right of return, which would grant Israeli citizenship to the millions of descendants of Arabs who willingly left Israel during its war of independence. They weren't millions that left. Maybe 600,000, but they've turned into millions over the years, the descendants. The PA has demanded that no Jewish residents remain in the future Arab state, including any Israelis in Judea and Samaria who would be willing to become PA citizens. Well, is this just because they've been treated unfairly? Is this just because they have been ousted from their historic land? Is this just because the Israelis are almost terrorists towards them, or that Israeli is an apartheid state, as former President Jimmy Carter argued? Or should we be, as many Christian leaders today are, much more sympathetic to the Palestinian position and recognize that not only is a two-state solution pragmatic, but a two-state solution is also righteous and just? Or is there no such thing as a Palestinian people? Is that part of Palestinian propaganda to make Israel look bad? In fact, is there no such thing as Palestinian history? I once saw a little cartoon of American Indian talking to an Israeli and saying, you know, this land for peace thing didn't really work for us. Another joke is, yeah, this is the peace process, one piece at a time. In other words, all this is really just a ploy to get greater strength so that Israel has less strength, so that Israel can ultimately be destroyed, because that remains the goal. And therefore, a two-state solution, not only is it meddling with Scripture, but it's also opening the door to Israel's potential destruction. What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Tonight begins Sukkot, first of a week-long festival celebration where religious Jews around the world will be spending time eating and living their lives in booths as commanded in the Torah, to remember that the children of Israel lived in tabernacles when they came out of Egypt. They lived in booths. And I'm going to give you some interesting background, some Jewish tradition and scriptures that are read at certain times of the year. I think you'll find fascinating a little bit later in the show. But right now, let's focus on the nation of Israel, the two-state solution. Is this chopping up the biblical land, and God is against that and pronounces judgment on those who do it? Woe to us if we try to get Israel to do it. Or is this just being pragmatic? John in Greensboro, thanks for calling the Line of Fire today.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, sir.
Good, good. I believe it goes way back to the when Ishmael, the split back in Genesis. There is two different nations, and it never should be, or never should be joined biblically. I think Arabs are Arabs, and Israelites are Israelites, and are deserving of their entire lot of land, you know, per Scripture.
All right, so there's no reason then to divide up the current land, that there's enough Arab land to go around for the non-Israelis, non-Jews to live on?
I believe the original real estate should be reinstated, as, you know, per in the Bible.
And you think that God still cares about that today? In other words, if America pushes Israel to divide the land or two-state solution, do you think that God would not be pleased with that?
Yeah, I think that would anger him. I think that might bring some events to bear. And also to go into the, you know, the Islam thing, their tenets are to convert, tax, or kill. And that's period. You know, they're not negotiators by nature. So you got to look at, you know, who you're dealing with.
All right. Hey. Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
But that's pretty much how they've operated in the past, and I don't really see them extending any olive branches now. You know.
Got it. All right. Hey, John, thank you, sir, for weighing in. I appreciate
it. All right.
And my apologies for interrupting John. He is a thoughtful speaker. And when he took a pause, I thought he was done. My New York style jumped in there, so my apologies for interrupting. Okay, Bruce in Burlington, on the other side of the break, you're up first. Let me remind you, before I weigh in with my own views, Let me remind you that the rough equivalent of a two-state solution is where we started and what the UN offered when land was carved out and Israel began as a nation in 1948. That wasn't acceptable. The surrounding nations were going to drive Israel into the sea. The surrounding Muslim nations were going to drive Israel into the sea. By the way, in 2 weeks, I'll be teaching my Jewish Roots class here at FIRE, which will be eye-opening and tremendously beneficial for you. You say, yeah, but I'm not a student in the school. Correct, but we're going to be doing live streaming of the Jewish Roots class. To find out about that, go to askdrbrown.org and click on resources. You'll see a link for online classes. Okay, we'll be back. Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, glad to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Will the two-state solution work in the Middle East? Is this pragmatic? Is this perhaps justice? Or is this just another way to take more land that rightly belongs to the people of Israel, to the Jewish people, promised in Scripture and gained through war and conflict when being attacked or when defending borders? And hey, surrounding land, Muslim Arab land, is about 650 times the amount of land owned right now by the people of Israel. What's Israel's size? Rhode Island? There's no need to slice it up. There's plenty of room if these Palestinians would like to live in other parts of the Muslim world. There's plenty of room for them. Is it as simple as we're making it on either side? 866-34-TRUTH, or you can weigh in on the Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. Before I go back to the phones, let me remind you that Israel gave Gaza over without condition, even though for 20, 30 years, Israelis had been developing the land and they had synagogues there and they had put down their roots. They said, fine, we'll give this land back. Of course, there had been people living there longer than that, but we'll give this land. Here, you can have it. Palestinians, they voted Hamas into power, and thousands of rockets, most recently last week, have come raining down on Israel since doing that. In other words, it does not seem that the pattern has been give us land and we will give you peace. It has all. Now, you can argue with me. That's fine. I have a different position. I welcome it here on the air. But it has often been said, and I'll repeat it, that if the Palestinians put down their weapons, there would be no more war. And remember, there are Arabs living in Israel with full rights of citizenship. In fact, they have more rights in Israel than they have in any other Muslim country in the Middle East. More freedoms. If the Israelis put down their weapons, there would be no more Israel. Palestinians put down their weapons, there'd be no more war. If the Israelis put down their weapons, there would be no more Israel. Let me go back to the phones. Bruce in Burlington, what's your take on this?
Hey, this is Bruce. Thank you, Dr.
Hey, Bruce.
Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I mean, after listening, you just put out all the points. I mean, I already had my, I'm very strong and opinionated toward, you know, Israel should have that country. Palestine, no matter what you give them, it's always going to be a conflict. And just like you said, if you give them Gaza, they're going to want something else. There's going to always be a war there until Israel is totally not a country. And God's not going to allow that to happen. So I'm not worried about that at all. Because God will defend Israel to the end. And as long as we as a country, the United States, continue to defend her, we'll be okay too. When we quit supporting Israel, that's the end of our country, if you ask me. But anyway, I would say, no, the more you give, the more appeasement you give, kind of like the homosexual agenda in this country, the more you change the laws or give, the more or less rights the common man in this country or Christian has. So that I'm very strongly opinionated toward, Israel should exist, but Palestine, there's plenty of other Arab countries around us to live in, and like you said, you have more rights in Israel than any of the other Muslim countries there.
Got it. Hey, Bruce, I appreciate you weighing in. I appreciate your heart for Israel. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Listen, if you disagree with our first two callers and with some of the things I've said already, state your view. We'll have some organized debate from folks on the other side of this issue in the coming months, God willing. But there are Christians who are speaking up, and they're saying, look, the Palestinians are being mistreated. Look, the Israelis are like tyrants, and they're like the Goliath, and the Palestinians are just like the little David. And that's why some Christian leaders now are being influenced in a way to side with Palestinians. But let's just give a little history. Is that okay? And by the way, if you want one book that'll answer your historical questions, that will answer your questions about Jewish tradition, Jewish custom, Jewish holy books, the law of Moses, Jewish background to the New Testament, all in one book, 60 questions, in fact, that are answered, can I strongly encourage you to get a copy of my book, What Do Jewish People Think About Jesus and Other Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs, Practices, and History. It's about 300 pages, and every page I think you'll find eye-opening. What do Jewish people think about Jesus? Get online anywhere readily available. Order a copy. All right, let's give a little history. First, the name Palestine. Where does that come from? That was a name put on the land by the Romans. So it's less than 2,000 years old. And it was a derogatory name based on Philistines, Philistia. So it was to name the land negatively and, of course, to remove a Jewish-Israeli association with the land. So it has been called Palestine because that's how it was known, but I don't believe in God's sight it was Palestine. But if you went back, say, 100 years ago or 80 years ago, there was a Palestinian orchestra. There was a Palestinian newspaper. It was Jewish because Jews were coming into the country more and more late in the 1800s, early 1900s. There had always been a Jewish presence in the land. And for centuries, there had been an Arab presence in the land, but they never defined themselves as the Palestinian people. They were Arabs who were living in Palestine, whereas the ones who were known as Palestinians, say with the Palestinian orchestra and newspaper that I mentioned, were Jews. There was no conception of being a Palestinian people or having a Palestinian history. And there are even Arab historians that will admit to this very point. In 1991, I was invited to a fundraising dinner for the Jerusalem Foundation. And after the dinner, which someone very graciously paid my way, it was $1,000 a plate as a fundraiser. I think McDonald's served better food. But anyway, I got to meet some people, have some fascinating discussion. After the dinner, there was a debate, which was the real featured item. And Dan Rather moderated a debate between Henry Kissinger and Fuad Ajami. I should say they had a dialogue. They're great scholars and approaching this from an intellectual viewpoint. So they had fascinating interaction. When it was over, they took audience questions. There was a guy in front of me. I was going to go second. He looked at me, well, you go first. So I asked Dr. Kissinger a question, then a question for Professor Ajami. And my question for Professor Ajami from Lebanon, and a widely respected scholar, was at Johns Hopkins, often appears before the media as an expert in the Middle East. I asked him, is there any such thing as a Palestinian people? And his ultimate answer was no, but that's something that the media will not tell you. He was quite forthcoming. So on the other side of the break, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the history of the so-called Palestinian people, where this comes from, how we have the current refugee crisis, as well as give you some further background about the time of year that we're in, Feast of Tabernacles, which has already begun in Israel and begins this evening here in the United States. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Line of Fire as we are on the eve of Tabernacles. I'll tell you why that's important biblically in a moment. Thanks for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH. If you'd like to email me directly, Dr. Brown, that's Dr. Brown at askdrbrown.org. Remember, we'll be live streaming my classes the next 2 weeks from Fire School of Ministry. The first one starts this coming Tuesday, History and Characteristics of Revival. These are morning classes you can watch live online for a low subscription rate. The following week, Jewish Roots will open up biblical foundations that be life-changing for you. So if you can participate in these, wonderful. If you miss them, we'll be making them available later by video on demand. We've been talking about a two-state solution. Is it viable? Is it pragmatic? Is it just? Is it biblical? Peace talks going on in the Middle East these very days. I always look at them with extreme skepticism, personally, and I see whatever steps that are taken is not having any lasting effect or value, just my personal outlook on them. And before the break, I was talking a little bit about the history of the Palestinian people. Former terrorist and now committed Christian and lover of Israel, Waleed Shubat, said that he was a Jordanian. 1967, Six-Day War, Jerusalem back in Jewish hands. The next thing, he's a Palestinian. There was a new identity that was created. Here's what happened. There was some fighting. There were even intifadas led by Haj Amin al-Husseini, who is the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem and a confidant of Adolf Hitler. He led uprisings against the Jews in what was then called Palestine in the 20s and 30s. And so there was fighting back and forth. There were Jewish groups that were liberation groups that were fighting, but most of the violence, you can easily document, was against Jews by the Arab population. And come 1948, when the UN recognizes Israel, the five surrounding Arab nations declared war, attacked. You said, well, weren't there hundreds of thousands of Arabs living in the land? Yes, probably about 600,000 that chose to flee. You say, why did they flee? Well, they were afraid of the war. They were afraid of what the Jews would do to them. And their Arab compatriots said, get out now, because a cannon can't distinguish between a Jew and an Arab. Get out now, and when we drive them into the sea, then come back to your lands, your properties. Well, that didn't happen. There are actually copies of flyers that the Jews passed out in the Arab community saying, you're not our enemies. You're not our enemies. Now, in the midst of war, you're going to have atrocities on both sides, but I'm telling you where the thrust of the matter was. Stay here. This is your home. You don't have to leave. Well, about 600,000 left. About 800,000 Jews were forcefully evicted, were put out from the surrounding Arab Muslim nations, and the new state of Israel had to take them in. Did these surrounding nations take in and absorb these people from Palestine, these Arabs living in Palestine? No. This is an early strategy that's documented to say they will remain in refugee camps, they will be a stench and mark on Israel, and they have grown in number, grown in influence, and even though their origins, if you want to talk about organized origins with the PLO and other groups like that, and men like Yasser Arafat, known terrorists who would declare peace in English and say, yeah, we're fine, and then go and call for jihad and in Arabic, in his speeches, this is all documented. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure this stuff out. Israel has now been painted as the guilty, ugly party because of this terrible refugee crisis that it allegedly caused. And the fact is, the refugee crisis is primarily the responsibility and even the doing of the surrounding Muslim nations. Let's just throw out one little thing to think about. Where do you have more liberty right now? As an Arab follower of Jesus living in the land of Israel, or as an Arab follower of Jesus living in Gaza or Bethlehem? Just asking that question. When the Muslims are ruling, where is the liberty? And could it be that the way things are being presented to us by the media are actually slanted? Just some things for you to think about. Back to the phones. Roger in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, you've answered some of my question, but my question I had to, originally was I was going to ask you to explain just who are the Palestinians? Where'd they come from, and how long have they been there?
Right. So just to answer that more specifically, and I'm glad we were tracking there, Roger. For the most part, what you're talking about is Arabs from different countries in the Middle East. And by the way, even our division of countries like Saudi Arabia or United Arab Emirates, these are more recent divisions that didn't exist over the centuries. But there were Arabs, hundreds of thousands, that were living in what was called Palestine, side by side with Jews, up until 1948. So they were simply Arabs from some of the other countries. Some had lived there for centuries. Some had lived there for decades. But they didn't view themselves as Palestinians. There's no such thing as a Palestinian history, as the Arab historian Philip K. Hitti said decades ago. So they don't go back to biblical days. They absolutely don't go back to the Philistines of the Bible. Certainly not. Some have actually claimed to go back to the Canaanites. No. Certainly not. They are Arab peoples from some of the surrounding lands. So it could have been, say, from Iraq or from Egypt or other nations like that, who had lived there in what was called Palestine for decades or for centuries in some cases. And then when Israel was formed as a nation, they fled and ended up primarily in certain areas in what it's called the West Bank. We would say Judea and Samaria or Gaza. So that's who they are. But if you take the country of Jordan, about half of Jordan would be considered Palestinian. So many of them are just Jordanians that were also living in the land. And so they're Arab peoples. And an interesting thing, by the way, Roger, is just go back and look up the origin of some of these countries. Like, some have ancient origins, but many of them are much more recent and were only created. So it's not like you had this history of, oh, yes, we are the Palestinians and we've lived here for centuries. No, that consciousness didn't exist any more than Native Americans living here in America called themselves American Indians. You know what I'm saying? That's later names that got put on them by other people. So hopefully that makes sense to you. And again, on a human rights level, we should care about their welfare because they are, in many cases, oppressed. But the oppression would disappear tomorrow if they put down their arms and said, we're not out to destroy Israel anymore. Hey, Roger, got to go. We got a break here. We come back, Sheila from Aiken, South Carolina. You'll be up next here on the Line of Fire. I don't want to rush through things here, so I may do some special teaching tomorrow that you'll find really fascinating, with some biblical background, Jewish tradition having to do with the Holy Days, some things I haven't gotten into so far in previous weeks. So I may do that rather than rush through it today. A couple of other news items in a military display in Iran. They are now boasting of a new missile that can go 1,250 miles, meaning striking Israel easily. And Haaretz, major Israeli newspaper, reports that Israel's President Shimon Peretz addressed the UN General Assembly on Monday. However, representatives from Iran and Lebanon walked out as soon as he took the podium. Peretz earlier told reporters that Ahmadinejad calls for our destruction and supplies arms to every terrorist organization in the Middle East. Peretz was snubbed by Muslim leaders on Sunday as well when Turkish President Abdullah Gül canceled a planned meeting with the Israeli president. Gul called off the meeting after Peretz refused to apologize for an incident earlier this year in which IDF soldiers opened fire on Turkish pro-terror activists as the latter attacked them with knives and crowbars. Gul decided, however, to meet with Iranian President Ahmadinejad. By the way, it's a major shift. Turkey had previously been moderate, considered moderate as a Muslim nation, more secular than some of the other nations, wanted entry in the European Union, and were told by the famously liberal European Union, no, because you're Muslim. Turkey has now shifted allegiance to radical Islam like Iran and other countries, and they are providing potential leadership in the Muslim and Arab world. Just another point of interest. Okay, Sheila in Aiken, South Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. I've been jumping in on your comments on your website as well. You may recognize my name. I was just concerning, you know, the peace talk and the United States, you know, interjecting themselves as they always do into it, but you know, isn't there a blessing in the Bible for the peacemakers and those that, you know, would pursue peace?
Absolutely there is, Sheila, and there's no question that we should be pursuing peace. The question is, if one side is pursuing peace and the other side wants to set you up for slaughter, it won't be lasting peace. So you're 100% right that our attitude should not be warmongering. Our attitude should not be let's wipe them out and establish our side. That's certainly not the Jesus position. We should be peacemakers. But, you know, that reminds us of something. I had one of my friends, a spiritual son, on the radio some months ago. He lives in Israel, married to an Israeli wife. They're both believers. And he said, look, we don't want to send our kids to war. One of their daughters just had to sign up for the IDF because it's mandatory. Everyone has to serve in the military there, male and female. And they have no desire to be in constant war. Have you been to Israel, Sheila?
Oh, no. I know several people that live there, and I stay in touch with them. They're
great.
They're Christians, and they have a hard time, actually, in Israel with, you know, the the Orthodox.
The Orthodox Jews certainly don't want you sharing the gospel with Jewish people. There is some level of persecution, just like you had the Pharisees, many of the Pharisees opposing Jesus, and some of the Sadducees, many of the Sadducees opposing the apostles. You have that same kind of thing in Israel today with religious Jews opposing the gospel going forward. But the reason I ask if you've been to Israel, if you just go down and sit and say a McDonald's, if any restaurant you go sit down, you'll see soldiers in there. Because these are people just having a meal themselves, or young people, or you go to a college campus, or you go into a mall, they're going to check you almost as thoroughly as before you get on a plane here in America. They don't like living like that.
No,
they don't like the constant pressure. So they would gladly do whatever they could to see peace come, Sheila. The problem is, it really is one way. Ultimately, Muslims will only be happy when they fully control the land and fully control Jerusalem. In particular, since this was a place where they had authority and rule before, it is very important to Islam to regain lost territory. So in point of fact, yes, blessed are the peacemakers, and the majority of Israelis would just gladly say, okay, we'll give up this and this and this if we could guarantee peace. But I'm quite convinced that the only peace you'll get out of this is quite temporary and quite false. All right, stay with us. I've got more reflections for you and some comments from a friend living in Israel. Let me remind you again, friends, if you want to dig in more on these subjects, find out about Jewish background to the New Testament, significance of the biblical holy days, God's eternal purposes for Israel. Has the church replaced Israel in God's purposes and plans? My class on Jewish roots for our students at Fire School of Ministry will be available on a live web stream. First time we'll be doing this. That'll be coming your way in just under 2 weeks. And for the whole 12-hour class, it's only a $50 subscription or $25 per person in a group. So it's dirt cheap to get it to as many people as possible. And even at that, barely cover our costs in doing it. So to find out about that, go to askdrbrown.org and then click on resources and you'll find information on the online classes. Get word out to your friends. We're doing this to try to serve the body on a wider level. Frank and his wife, Carol, were part of our ministry, our missionaries with Fire International, serving in Israel, working with poor, with drug addicts, with handicapped children, sharing the love of God. And they are Gentiles with a great love for Israel and the Jewish people and a great love for the Arab people and the Druze people in Israel. Frank posted this comment a few minutes ago. There is already been a two-state solution. It was set a long time ago. The Jews have Israel and the Arabs have Jordan. Like I said, 50 to 60% of Jordanians would be classified as Palestinian. You say, well, then why not take everyone else in? But they're not welcome. Those that are identified as Palestinians are not welcome in much of the rest of the Arab world. In fact, have been expelled from different Muslim Arab countries in the last decades. Yeah. By all means, we need to pray for God's solution. But it's not carving up Israel further so that Israel would be left with virtually indefensible borders. I mean, at a certain point, the land would be like 9 miles wide. You kidding me? So Frank says, the Jews have Israel, the Arabs have Jordan. Plain and simple solution. Only problem is that the Arabs in Jordan didn't want the PA, Palestinian Authority in Jordan, so they threw them out. So the Palestinian Authority has to make up lies about the land of Israel, stating that they are Palestinians. This is position of Frank from Israel. The name Palestinians came into existence during the 1967 war, as I shared with you earlier. There is now, and there has always been a Jewish presence in Israel long before Muhammad was even born. The problem with Israel is that their hearts are too big, if you can consider that being bad, and the PA knows it and is trying to take advantage of them every chance they get. Now, that's a perspective from someone living in Israel who's saying Israelis want to live in peace. And those, here, look, ask yourself about the statements and actions of the Palestinian Authority. Ask yourself about the statements and actions of Hamas. And ask yourself, would you trust these governments, these authorities, with setting up a lasting peace plan? Now, by all means, we need to recognize that those identifying as Palestinians and Israelis, Jews, are equally loved by God. And that Jesus shed his blood for each of them just the same. And that God's heart will not be satisfied until there is reconciliation between these estranged brothers through the gospel. And by all means, we should be involved in compassionate outreach to Gentile and Jew together in the Middle East. But when it comes to justice, when it comes to a fair solution, many people are being duped, often by propaganda, not getting the whole story. Look into the facts. As you have opportunity, I encourage you, get online. Just go to Amazon, easiest place, and order What Do Jewish People Think About Jesus? And other questions Christians ask about Jewish beliefs, practice, and history. It'll really be eye-opening for you on this front and many other fronts. Tomorrow, some fascinating biblical background to the holy days and some Jewish tradition you'll appreciate. We'll get into all that tomorrow. Then Friday, you've got questions. We've got answers right here on the Line of Fire. Be blessed.